The start of a new week has the federal government still in a shutdown. The start of a new week sees the stock market and cryptocurrencies bouncing back. The start of a new week sees Lisa Daymuth moving around Minnesota with some renewed hope that she might be the next governor of the state of Minnesota. And the start of a new week sees Americans trying to figure out what do we make of the Epstein files. Good morning, my friend. Steve Alsham here with you. Great to be in the chair on what promises to be another drinking from a fire hose type of week in the news cycle. And I love the opportunity every day to try to break it down the best I can for you and say, here's how I see it. What do you think? Let's try to figure this all out together. I'm going to do a little more of that today than I typically do because I have to tell you that normally I come to you and I've got a pretty good position statement on certain things. Like, here's how I feel. You can argue with me. You can like it, whatever. But I think I've been able to get to the bottom of this, and I know what I feel about it. I would say that happens 95% of the time. I do not know what to tell you about the Epstein files. I don't. The decency of any human being is rocked to the core when you see some of the things that are listed in the big data dump that came out Friday. And then common sense and my rationale seeking mind gets started then and said, okay, well, hang on now. This is a tip line. This is just, hey, you should check into Addison. Addison's been dealing hooch out of the back of his new car he got, you know, and the FBI says, yeah, there's nothing to that. But Addison, I don't know, have you ever been accused of dealing hooch out of the back of your car?
My lawyers advised me not to say anything on air about that.
You don't want to incriminate yourself. Look, the point is that a tip line is just, I have information that says X, and who knows that this person could be completely off their rocker. So I don't know what to make of all this, but I will say that where there's this much smoke, there's got to be a little bit of fire, doesn't there? Especially with all the things that we've learned about Epstein over the years. The problem is I don't know who's guilty of any of it because all of these things have been dissected and looked at. And certainly when it comes to the president, if there was going to be some kind of legal action taken against him, it would have been done by now. So we're going to dig into that here today a little bit. I'm going to give you a few perspectives on that on the program today. I think it'll be an interesting conversation, but you'll want to have your phone ready today, 701-271-1100, because I do want to leave some time for you to say, here's what I make of the Epstein files, because it's so overwhelming and it's so horribly disgusting that I don't know what to make of it. I don't really want to see it, but I have a lot of questions. So we'll get into that here today. The phone number, 271-1100, is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. Now offering counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment, get in this week at valleychristian.co. Many other stories to get into as well today, so you can give us your perspective on the email box, studio@flagfamily.com, or the text line, 701-237-1590. A ton of headlines, a ton of stories going on, and a ton of things that bear some watching as we start the news cycle today. So let's rock and roll here with the Morning Wire. These are what I believe to be some of the things that you need to know as you start your day. We begin with the almanac for today, and we will gain 2 minutes and 48 seconds of daylight today. Isn't that great? 2:48, almost 3 minutes now of daylight every day. We will take that. Stocks are on the rise to begin a new week of trading on Wall Street. Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ, all up about a half a percent today. So after a tough day to end the week, last week, we've seen a good bounce back. And the other one that everybody's watching, cryptocurrency. Bitcoin dropped down to under $80,000. There was about a 10% drop in just a couple days last week. And Bitcoin regaining its footing just a little bit, but it has not come flying back after a brutal week. It's right now $78,000 per coin, and that's up about 1.5%, but we still have a long way to go to get back to where we started last week. WTI crude oil, this is an interesting one as well. The apparently, there's been some de-escalation of tensions with Iran, and that's caused oil prices to fall almost 5% today. Now, I don't know that this is a haymaker of a news story coming out of the discussions with Iran. This, to me, was kind of an under-the-radar story, and I don't know that there was all that much tension to begin with. So this is one of those cases where, remember when they said, well, Joe Biden can't do anything about oil prices? And I said, well, that's a bunch of garbage. If Joe Biden just came out tomorrow and said, you know what, the climate change thing is just kind of a nonsense deal. I've wisened up and we're going to forget about all that. Oil prices would have dropped 10, 15, 20%. But no, that obviously was not something that the liberals would agree with. Well, now we're seeing the president say, yeah, you know, maybe Iran is such a big deal, and oil prices go down 5%. So 62.05 on the WTI crude oil today. Gold down about $14 an ounce at 4,730. Silver just down a couple of pennies. And talk about a crazy week that they had as well. So things are very calm, I think, to start the day in cryptocurrency, stocks. Oil is probably the big a source of drama here today. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, $2.87. That's up a penny from Friday. North Dakota average price, $2.52. South Dakota, $2.57. Minnesota, $2.62. In the news today, the week begins, or the business week begins anyway, with a partial government shutdown in place. But Speaker Mike Johnson says he's confident that the government shutdown will end by Tuesday. The House would need to pass a Senate-approved spending package to end the partial government shutdown. Johnson says, I think we got the votes to get that done. Stocks, as I mentioned, are on the way up today. And Wall Street is also now turning its attention to one of the biggest sectors in the stock market, and that is semiconductors. NVIDIA, which is sort of the poster child for semiconductors, has said that its plans to pour about $100 billion into OpenAI had stalled. So NVIDIA shares down more than 2%. So that's worth watching today. If you got any money in the stock market, you likely have something in semiconductors. WDAY Radio reports that Lisa Daymuth begins her week on an airplane today. She's going to be in a number of cities around the state of Minnesota, including Moorhead today. And she'll be over there at the DS Beverages building doing a town hall over there, promoting her plan to make a stronger, better Minnesota. Scotty will be over there today for his What's On Your Mind program, and Scott's going to be hosting a little panel, I think, on that deal. So we'll be interested to get his thoughts on that. By the way, there is more optimism among Republican operatives in Minnesota about Lisa Daymuth than I thought there was. Talked to a couple people over the weekend, and they said, you know, Amy Klobuchar did not kill Royce White in that last election by as much as people think. Her brand is a little tired. Daymuth has a shot. People believe that Daymuth has a shot. So there you go on that. WDAY Radio reports that a man sentenced to 5 years in prison for a 2017 felony robbery case in Fargo now faces deportation. He came to the United States just after the year 2000 and is a legal resident alien here. So he's here legally, but he's not a citizen. And so there was an arrest not long ago, and there is now apparently a deportation process. You can read more about that on WDAYRadioNow.com. The five-year-old boy made famous in the Twin Cities when he, along with his father, were detained by ICE and moved to a facility in Texas, has been returned to Minnesota after a judge said he needed to be released. Meanwhile, attorneys say a Grand Forks man is being illegally detained after an ICE arrest as well. They say that he is here legally. He is a citizen of the United States and has filed no crime. ICE officials say we are always looking deep under the surface where people don't know exactly what we are looking for. So two competing stories going on right there. Over the weekend, there was a stabbing near the Bismarck Tavern in downtown Fargo. That's right, the Bismarck Tavern, downtown Fargo. If you're not familiar with downtown, that is a business there. It happened right around lunchtime on Saturday afternoon, of all things. The two people apparently were known to each other. And mortgages that are more than 90 days past due rose in December to about 0.2% from just under 0.17% a year earlier. So more people are getting behind on their mortgages over the last year or so. Thought that was interesting and worth pointing out as well. When we come back on the Steve Holsham Show, the crypto world is on pins and needles this morning And that is the story of the day. We're going to talk about that and how much money really is tied up in Bitcoin. You might be surprised how many people are, quote unquote, into it. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Are you tired of winter yet? It's wearing on me a little. I'll be honest enough to tell you that. Thank goodness for all of us. Cindy is here from Travel Travel with some great ideas, as always, to help us warm up those cold old bones a little bit. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hey, doing great. We have a really cool idea for you guys this week.
Okay.
We're gonna send you to Mazatlan at the end of February for 7 nights. We're going to take you right out of Fargo for air, and we've got transfers, and we have 7 nights all-inclusive lodging, along with an elite package with golf included.
Oh, okay. Mazatlan, golf, flying out of North Dakota. I like it. What else do we need to know?
So you also get the elite, so you can go to all four hotels, complimentary shuttle from, the four different properties. You get a premium menus, with lobster, jumbo shrimp, all that fun stuff. Mm. So, and also it's Ocean View accommodations. You get VIP check-in and, you get a ton of different things, nightly turndown. And the only thing you need to know is that it's the green fees that are included. The rest of the stuff you will end up having to pay, like for a caddy and such.
Okay. Well, we can handle that. Yeah, it sounds like you wrote this just for me. You're talking about golf and lobster in Mazatlan in the middle of winter. I love it. Tell us what we're looking at for a price tag on this one.
You know what? 2020.
Mm. $2,000 a person. Couple goes for 4,000. And it's, did I hear you say all inclusive, like the meals are all part of the deal?
Yes, all inclusive. And you got the elite package. So it is a little bit higher than some of the stuff that we've been doing. But you know what? I was thinking of you. Like, how nice can you go golfing? Oh. You can't golf here right now.
No, you can't.
So we're like,
no,
we
you
need
can't.
We needed to find something like that for people that wanted to get out of here.
It sounds so good. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. And I love when you come up with these creative plans and packages. And how fun is that? If you're there for a week, you might say, hey, I want to stay at one hotel one night, but this other one looks kind of nice too. So let's go down the way and stay at that one. I think that's absolutely fantastic. If people want to find out more or get in touch with you, how do they do that, Cindy?
Give us a call at 701-492-5000.
701-492-5000. If you're listening to us in Western North Dakota, just give them a call because they can customize some things for you that you might not think about. If you want to fly out of Minot or Bismarck, they'll figure it all out for you. Travel, and they're the best ones out there. And Cindy and her team will give you a great value for the money. And every week I come away from these conversations shaking my head and say, I think Cindy has outdone herself. And I think you have again. Thank you so much, Cindy, for the details. You have a great week.
You have a great week, too.
All right. Thanks
Bye-bye.
So much. Yep. Fun stuff. Golfing in Mexico in the wintertime. And she said lobster. Yes. Yes, she did. So, all right. Let's get to the story of the day here. Now, I know a lot of you are where I was 6 months ago. The Bitcoin thing, the crypto thing, okay, it seems like it's a big deal. It seems like the train's kind of left the station, probably too big to fail, but I can't quite get behind it. Well, I have scraped together a couple of bucks, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to buy a little bit as a gamble because I can't tell you what Bitcoin really does. I can't tell you why it's better than anything else. I mean, I understand the basics of how it works, but I've never quite understood why people are as into it as they are. But some of the smartest people I know in finance say, yep, it's a thing and it's not going away. And the potential is this for it to go much higher because there's a finite amount of this stuff. So I bought a little bit. I'm not going to get into details, but we're not talking about, a mortgage payment worth or anything like that, but a little bit just because I wanted to be in the game. Well, it went down big last week. So the crypto world was on pins and needles over the weekend. And people going, okay, I bought some. Should I get rid of it? What are we going to do here? And so I thought I would try to do a little 101 on Bitcoin for you if you're kind of wondering what the story is and how big of a deal is this. So Bitcoin went down about 10% last week. It was 87,000 or so, and it got down actually a little more than that. I think it got down to like 77, 78. So you're probably 15, almost 20% down. So it was a big drop, no doubt about that. So I started thinking, well, how big of an asset is Bitcoin compared to some of the other things that we have in our society here? So Bitcoin's market cap, so the value of all the Bitcoin out there is about $2.1 trillion. There's about, there is a 19.8 million of these things with a price that has sat right around $100,000 for a long time, a little over that for the last year or so. Now, it's grown quite a bit over the last year because institutions, so your big brokerages, your Fidelities and so forth, they have started getting into this and buying them through some of their ETFs, what they call them, exchange-traded funds, kind of a mutual fund, but not based on stocks, okay? And a lot of governments around the world have started buying it a little bit as a hedge against global currency volatility. So what like gold, some of the big companies, what are they worth if Bitcoin's worth, say, $2 trillion? Well, gold, the value of all the gold in the world is about $16 trillion. So while Bitcoin isn't near where gold is at least it's in the conversation. Microsoft, the most valuable company in the world, is at $3.8 trillion, for instance. So you can take a look at that. Silver is worth about $1.6 trillion. So Bitcoin, at least as we're sitting there today, is worth a little bit more than what silver is worth. Okay, so Bitcoin is often compared to gold, but it has, as I said, a little way to go to get there. So Bitcoin is more valuable, if you take a look at the stocks then, of just about every individual company on earth except maybe the top seven or eight. And there's a big Saudi oil conglomerate that's worth a little bit more about that as well. Unlike companies like Microsoft or Apple that have physical assets and cash flows and earnings reports, Bitcoin's market cap is purely driven by supply and demand. There are no assets behind it, and that means that it can be awfully volatile, which is what happened last week. So should you buy it? I'd never suggest to somebody, well, you need to buy it. But when I hear guys like the gold silver exchange people and precious metals people who typically are some of the most conservative investors, and you know they're going to typically talk to a conservative investor about conservative options, I'm hearing those guys. I've talked to two of them in the last 6 months that have said, I would have a little bit of Bitcoin because it's something, it's not going away, too big to fail. And as I've told you before, the next generation, the kids in their 20s and 30s, they talk about this stuff like you and I talk about mobile apps. It's just a part of their conversations. It's a part of their investing. They're all trying to figure out how to get some cryptocurrency. And some of them are going for these other ones like XRP and Ethereum and some of the smaller ones. But Bitcoin is the quote-unquote gold standard of cryptocurrencies. So I have a little bit. I just don't want to miss out. And if I have a few $100, it just falls apart someday. It's not the worst thing in the world that ever happened. But if it goes nuts, I want to be in that spot where I say, you know what, I didn't miss out. So that's my 2 cents on $2 trillion of Bitcoin. When we come back, the Epstein files are out. What do we make of the Friday data dump? That's next. Thinking about expanding your home, but you love your neighbors and your coffee shop nearby? Well, plus it's a lot of cost to move, right? How about just build up? Winter is a great time for second story additions, and it's usually less material, less labor, way less arguing over moving boxes and where are we going to put all this stuff. If you need a master suite or workout room or just somewhere to hide from the kiddos, well, that doesn't sound too bad, Mom, does it? Give a call to Delta Design and Construction. They can make it happen. Call them at 701-235-1212 before your space and their schedule runs out. DeltaDesign.biz. Beauty and quality by design. All right. On Friday, there was a massive dump of most of the rest of the Epstein files. And I said at the time, You know, Friday, most of the time when they do this, these big releases, I'm like, oh, sure, bury it because nobody cares about things over the weekend. I think in this case, it was probably a good thing because it gave people who really wanted to get into it a whole weekend to go through 3 million pages. And Todd Blanche out of the AG's office did a press conference and said, okay, here's what we're doing. And said, this is just about everything else. There's some stuff that hasn't been released that's not going to be part of this. And that is some of the more bizarre things that we're trying to figure out if there's anything behind. Okay, so I don't think everything is out yet, if I understood the Attorney General, Attorney Blanche correctly. But this is most of the rest of it. And the implication was this is the rest of the stuff that really you could look at and say there might be something to take a look at here. He didn't say it that way, but that was my take. The president told us, beware of what you wish for with this stuff. Boy, no kidding. Now that we've seen what has come out. So what do we make of this? And I would like to hear from you. What do you make of it from what you've seen? You probably, like me, didn't go through 3 million pages of things, but there's a lot of stuff that's out there. In traditional media, social media, and a lot of that, you got to be really careful, but that's kind of what I want to talk about. So here's what I make of it. Just about all of this was from the FBI tips folder. What's a tip? Well, a tip is just someone saying, hey, I've got some info. And as I was joking out about the beginning of the show, Addison's dealing weed out of the trunk of his car. Okay, anybody can send out a tip. It doesn't have to mean anything. Sometimes it might. It is generally an anonymous resident person from the public saying, hey, I heard blank or I saw blank. We get them all the time in our newsroom. And I would say that 70% of them just don't pan out. 30% of them do, as far as something that you should look into. And then I'd say of that 30%, you look at the rest of it and maybe 5% turns into an actual story that you can corroborate, that you can get evidence on, that you can say, okay, we've got data, we've got supporting information here, and we'd be willing to go to court and say in front of a judge, we're going to make a case that this happened. Now, it doesn't mean that it's that we can prove it, doesn't mean that we're right, but we say kind of like it's sort of like a court proceeding where you're saying, okay, we're going to bring this story now to the public because we feel like we have enough here to say that there's something. So that's a lot of what this was. When you take a look at what came out, with all of this, I would say my big takeaway here is that the information that was put out, I would say, is not so much news as it is political weaponry. Many of these items in the files there have been used in some way to say, oh, you know, that so-and-so, he sure did that, or he's got this or that. There is a lot there that looks to be a certain way until you realize that they probably looked at this and probably did nothing with it. Now, we know how government works. Government is not always the most efficient at getting things done. So is there a lot there that probably should be dug into and hasn't? I would say maybe so. But all we can really do right now is go by what has been proven, what has been, whatever, researched, corroborated. You get the background, you get the intelligence, you get testimony, and then you say, okay, I've got something here, and then you file charges if you're in the DOJ. So the damage is now less about new legal discoveries than it is about somebody's character being besmirched for all time. And I think that's why the president was sort of standoffish about it. If I had to guess, now, I'm glad that this has come out. I hope the rest of it comes out. And I do hope that some of these emails where names were redacted, I hope that we find out who these people were that sent these or got them or what, especially the people that sent them along the way here. I fear that we'll never really know what happened here. Where there is this much smoke, I feel like my gut tells me there has to be a little bit of fire to some of this. All of it? No. Everybody? No. But when you have people who are mentioned over and over and over again, it's worth at least some questions about what's in here and why are they here. From one of the articles I read over the weekend, I think it was a Bloomberg article, they said the person most mentioned in all of this is Obama, more than 2,000 times in this dump of documents. Now, I don't particularly think that we should bring charges against Barack Obama because there have been 2,000 mentions of him in this. If they take a look at some of the things in here and they find that there's something, well, sure, then yes. But I would be really careful based on what we know right now. I'm not talking about 6 months ago, from now, a year from now. If more information comes out and we see, okay, well, there's, you know, there is more evidence on this, I would say for me and the way I'm looking at it, I'm just looking at all this and I'm kind of saying, I'm moving on. I'm moving on Jay-Z. I'm moving on Obama. I'm moving on about Trump. I'm moving on about Prince Andrew. I'm moving on about all of them. You probably have seen some of the photos that were released here, including one of them. And I hope I'm getting it right. Is it Prince William or Prince Andrew? I can't remember. One of the royals is shown on a video or on a picture where there is a woman laying on her back on the floor, and he's kind of, you know, like in the plank position on his elbows in front of her. And the woman's identity is blacked out. That makes sense to me. I'm glad that they did that. But what does that prove? Well, the photo looks horrible. And of course, since this is in the Epstein files, you say, oh, here he is. She's a 16-year-old girl and he's, you know, sitting over top of her. And obviously he was about to do something unspeakable to her. We don't know that. You don't know any of that from a picture. Now, if that's true, that she was 14 and whatever, well, then yes, the strongest hand of justice should be leveled against him. But the woman could have been 21. It could have been consensual. We don't know the context of anything here. And I was disappointed to hear some on the right this weekend say, oh, well, there you go. We know that about whoever. And we don't really know. That's the whole point. So I think you have to put all of these things together and say, what are you going to say proves anything about any of this? Now, there is a email out there that says that somebody sent a video to Epstein. And again, the email could have been doctored. The email address could have been changed. We don't know. None of it's evidence. But there are messages out there like, I love the torture video. Okay, if the DOJ believes that there's enough credibility to say that Epstein got that email from somebody, then is there also enough evidence to say that we should know who sent the video and who sent that email, excuse me, about the torture video? Because if there is truth to that, we need to know. Because whoever that is, if they sent a torture video to Jeffrey Epstein and it's what it could be, then you have grounds for something absolutely horrific. Now, a lot of this is past statute of limitations, 7 years. So provable in court? No, probably not any longer. But it would be good for us to know. I would love to know. I'd love to know the truth. This will probably go down for me in the ranks of things I'd really like to see a trial for that I probably won't, like Hillary Clinton's ball peen hammers and Joe Biden's incoming $1 million wires from Ukraine, COVID vaccines, and what the government, what did Fauci really know? I hope I'm wrong that we're never going to see the justice on this, because if a tenth of what is discussed here is true, it's enough to shake the bedrock of our society, and in time, that would be a good thing. But will we ever really know? I don't. This needs to be something that we someday get to the bottom of. There's so much, and it is so horrific. I'm not even going to tell you who it was, but one of the things I saw was a former president who somebody said, I saw him eating the intestines of a toddler who had just been sacrificed on a table, and they were all eating their intestines. Some things I just say to myself, you know what? I think I'm better living in ignorant bliss on something like that, because if that's true, I don't know that I want to know all the details of that. But I think in the end, you'd say we have to. But again, how do you prove anything? And so much of this, again, is a tip. Somebody said this, somebody said that. There is a video circulating on social media of a woman, and we don't know the context, but she's saying, I saw them eating the children or something like that. And that has, in the minds of a lot of people, said, oh, see, this proves all of this. And certainly that's not true. I hope that someday we can get to the bottom of it. I just feel like this might be the hardest of any of these things. Like I talked about Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden's money coming from overseas. This, to me, feels like it's going to be the most impossible to prove. Trump is mentioned in here many times. I get it. But Trump, a playboy guy who runs with the fast crowd in New York City, knew everybody, probably did work with and for Epstein. He's going to be mentioned in things like this. I don't love it. Ben Carson's not mentioned in any of this, right? And so do you love it? No. But am I willing to say Donald Trump is guilty of something? No, because we don't know that. Just like we don't know that Barack Obama's guilty of anything here. If more information comes out, more proof comes out, I'll talk about it a lot. But I think a lot of people say, I want you to talk about this because Trump's in there. Well, there's a lot of people that are in there. I probably am not going to go into much more on this as time goes on, unless there is something of proof that comes out where we say there's something to talk about. That's how I feel about it. How about you? 271-1100. What do you make of all this? Talk to you next. Just a heads up, I'm kind of done reporting on the protests. It's not that I don't think it's important that people get together or that it's not newsworthy that people have a voice, but I saw the Valley News Live story about the protests that was going on yesterday in Fargo, and that demonstrators had a little march yesterday from the courthouse to Broadway Square. And I kind of saw all I needed to know when I saw like the third sentence of the story. Well done, by the way, by Harrison Prey on the Valley News Live website. I thought he did a good job of reporting it. It's not his reporting that I have issue with. But it talks about one of their concerns of the protesters was detention of the five-year-old boy in Columbia Heights, who we now know is heading back home with his father to the Twin Cities from where they were being detained in Texas. And one of the organizers, not just some jamoke who showed up, came and said, hey, let me jump in here. One of the organizers said, I don't understand how a five-year-old can be considered a dangerous criminal. It was heartbreaking to see that he was held away from his mom. This is where I just kind of say, I give up. Reporting that has been out there in a number of different places has said the mom didn't want the kid. That the dad ran away from his kid, first of all. ICE brought the kid to his mom. Mom said, I don't want him. And dad ended up coming back, and so they detained dad, which I guess is who they were looking for originally. They didn't think mom was up to anything, I guess. So there is such a lack of really knowing the stories and the issues from the people that are protesting. And so good for you. I go protest, march, whatever. I actually admire people who come out to protest for things. I think our side should do more of it probably than we do. I do think that there are some in there who are paid. The organizers are generally paid. They get money from a nonprofit. That's not wrong, and it's not illegal. It's legitimate. If someone says, well, I'm going to pay you to go lead a protest, fine. If that protest breaks the law, then that's a different issue. But I think when you have so much ignorance as to what's really happening and the inability to grasp the basic facts of what's happening in our country, I just sort of say I'm kind of done reporting that, hey, a bunch of people got together and shouted. So just heads up on that. Let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Jason and Williston wants to talk about the Epstein files. Hey, Jason, what needs to be said about this today, do you think?
Here's what I say about this. It's time to give it up. You and I both know I'm with you on this. It's just part of being in the rich crowd. That's just the way it is. And you know what? If nothing's going to happen to them in the first place, if they do find anything on Obama and them, you know as well as I do, they're already protesting against ICE. and they're already making up stories about, like, that little kid and sex. So, you know what? If as long as it's Trump, it would be a big thing. But if it was Obama, every one of them would vote for him anyway. So it really, it's at this point, you know what? We got other things to worry about than besides Epstein files.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Jason, I'm right there with you. If there was legitimate claims here that they thought were real, it would be brought up by now. Of course it would. You think they would have left anything unturned when it comes to Trump? They would have already brought it out there. And you've got a Biden administration that, by the way, nobody wants to talk about. They didn't release any of this. So do you think the Biden administration had all this sitting, all these millions of folders, that they didn't delete or change some of these? I don't trust them. I guess I shouldn't accuse them because I don't know. But just basically what we know about politics being a zero-sum game for the left, if you said, Steve, if you had to bet $5, have some of these files disappeared, I would say yes, no question about it. And the fact that Trump is releasing all this and he's mentioned in there and photos of him in there, to me, gives him some credibility on this issue, Jason.
Exactly. And for gosh sakes, when Domi wants to put a criminal in office, whatever. So this is the thing. If the kettle was blue, they would call it purple. It doesn't matter. Like I said, you can just let it go. It needs to just be done with. It's over with and done with.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Jason, for giving a call. Appreciate you hollering in. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. The only thing that makes me hang on from saying, let's just never talk about this again, is that if there's any of this that's true and can be proven, if any of these allegations are true, I mean, we're talking about young girls and probably young boys too, that according to some of the worst things talked about here, we're talking about actually children being sacrificed. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, I think that happened, but if there is even a hint of that being possible, I would want to know about it. And I think I saw over the weekend there's a new number now of how many missing children have been found with ICE and Border Patrol and investigations that the Trump administration has done. And I think the number now is like 230,000. That's the number I saw. I know it's over 200,000. Think about that for a minute. If that's really where we're at, there could be some kids out there who had horrible things happen to them. Hour two next. I saw something over the weekend that I thought was worth pointing out. I'll do this before we get to the key three here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. News Nation was doing a piece over the weekend, and I enjoy watching these guys. I feel like it is they're trying really hard to be down the middle news, and I respect that because you don't see a lot of that anymore. They're not trying to give you the scripted drama. They don't come on telling you that millions of Americans are under siege from cold temperatures. It's just kind of, here we are, here's what's going on, just trying to tell both sides. I appreciate that. They did a little piece this week about ICE agents and federal agents talking to people. And you see this every once in a while, but you don't see much of it. And the point of this mini documentary, story, feature, whatever, was that, hey, whether you know this or not, or whether you see this very often, ICE is trying, in many cases, to have conversations with people and at least let protesters that seem peaceful just talk to them, chew them out, you know, give them an earful, whatever. And then just try to say, you know, hey, get it. I understand we're trying to do a job and there's a lot of good things we're doing here. And I played you a clip of an ICE agent that did that. This is last week, maybe the week before, where he said, hey, just so you know, we are trying to arrest here a known sex offender and a child predator. And this is what you're protesting against. And it was one of those, hopefully, aha moments for some people. But I don't think that many people realize that this is an effort. It is something that they are trying to do, and maybe they've been doing it all along, but just talking to people and letting them voice their frustrations. But that, of course, would humanize ICE, so you're not going to see it very many places. So thank you, News Nation, for showing these clips of ICE agents that are trying to be human beings and talk to these people and say, I get what you're saying. I get that you don't like all this and that. I get what you see on TV and in social media. But just so you know, here's what we're doing and here's what we're trying to do. We've got families too. We'd rather not be here doing what we're doing, but there's a need to do it because it's not just the five-year-old boy who is being detained. These are horrific people, and there's a reason we're here doing what we're doing. So good job, News Nation. All right, it's 10:09 here, and before we get to the key three, let's sneak in Ryan quick because he's been waiting a while and wants to talk about the protests. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Steve. I am completely in 100% in agreement with your assertion that there's not much left to report on the protest, but I just felt like before we quit talking about them, I kind of had to get in a final word. I share some concerns with the protesters, honestly, about innocent citizens getting swept up in raids. I don't think that that happens nearly to the extent that the protesters would tell you it does. And I'd also like to point out to your listeners that since 1956, it has been a federal felony on the books, prison time, for people that employ, harbor, or transport people here illegally. And I'm not aware of any president in my lifetime, going back to Ronald Reagan, that has gone all the way in enforcing that law. So that's
I get you.
That's my, my last word on
no,
it.
I appreciate that. And that's I appreciate a balanced conversation on this. I share some of those same concerns. Any decent human being does. You don't want to see people who are lawful people here legally, their residents or citizens, whatever, being swept up in the raids and treated unfairly. So I think that that's one of those things almost you feel like, do we really need to say that? But you do have to say it every once in a while to have a balanced conversation. So people that are listening to you who are trying to make up their mind will say, okay, well, there's somebody who's at least trying to look at both sides of it. I will say what I've said probably 100 times during this whole thing is what happened was orderly. It was an orderly corruption of our system. And it was orderly at face value, of course. Beneath the surface, you have the Lake and Rileys and everybody else. But to most of the public, they never saw the people coming in here illegally. It was out of sight, out of mind. And it was orchestrated by a major governmental operation. So it didn't seem all that messy at the time. There was something here, something there. But now Trump comes in and says, okay, cleaning up a mess is going to be messy itself. And we're going to have to do this where people don't want us to go. And you've got a whole liberal media establishment that wants to put everything in the worst possible light. This is going to get ugly. I said that during Trump's campaign. I said, be ready, people, because everybody says in polling, oh, yeah, we want the illegals out of here. Okay, well, what does that look like in reality? It's ugly. It's dirty. It's messy. And you know what? There's going to be some collateral damage. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect systems. There are no perfect processes. And you're going to have people, in your words, swept up that should not be detained, that should not be accused of anything, but you get in a situation where we don't know what it's like. We don't know the intel. We don't know the situation. And it's easy to look at a situation and get, well, that person got swept. But you know what? Maybe they had to because they knew they had, you know, 8 out of 10 people in a restaurant were targets. And so they made sure that they detained everybody to make sure that they could get the 8 people. But did somebody get detained? Yes. Was it an hour, 2 hours? A couple of, I don't know, but generally speaking, these people are detained and you ask them questions and then they are released. But that story never gets told because you can't raise money off of that story. What you can raise money off of is the one guy who had to sit for an hour or for an overnight or a day. I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure people feel like they have to have their papers walking around. I get all of that, but I think there has to be a calmer voice to all this saying, look, this is an ugly situation. Cleaning up is not going to be easy or tidy, and there are going to be things that are going to be done wrong. There's going to be a mistake that is made, and you hope that doesn't happen, but it has to. And if we expect these ICE agents to be perfect in everything that they do and never make a mistake, you're being unrealistic. But let's also look at the reason they're there, how ugly that is, and how many people they have taken out of circulation. 3,000 known felons in Minneapolis is the number that Homeland Security is talking about. So do I hate it that people might get swept up for a while? Yes, I do. But if you think that it's all going to happen perfectly and you're just going to be able to, you know, drop a hook through the ceiling and lift the right guy out and know that you got the right guy, that's not realistic to think. So some of this is just going to unnecessarily be some of the gross stuff that happens when you're doing major law enforcement maneuvers. And if we would have had an administration over the last 4 years that would have handled itself in a responsible way, we would have a much smaller problem to deal with. So, Ryan, thanks for giving a call. I appreciate you chiming in. And look, you're looking for utopia in the middle of a mess, and it's just not going to happen that way. I said it before, I said it again. If there is somebody who did something wrong and it results in the loss of life, or someone gets killed they shouldn't have, there should be investigations. And if somebody acted outside of protocol and it's a clear violation of what there should be punishment for that. But we also have to understand that they have a really hard job to do. They're under attack, and we've got to have a little bit of patience for someone who makes a mistake in some way. Whether or not somebody shoots somebody, they're going to get to the bottom of all these in the investigations, and maybe there needs to be something where they lose their job or something like that. But let's realize the job that we've given them to do is a really ugly and difficult job. And if I was sitting there with people yelling and screaming at me and throwing bottles of urine at me and ice chunks and everything else, would I snap? Gosh, I hope not. You'd be trained not to, but is it possible that it could happen? Yes. And if that happens, yes, there should be justice in some way. But just be aware of when you tell law enforcement that you are not allowed to make any mistakes, and if you make any mistake, you'll be dealt with in the harshest possible terms. It's going to decrease the number of people who want to go in and do that job too. So always remember that. Okay. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Just thought that deserved a few things to be said there. Key three, I'm going to wait here until the next segment. I think I can get key three in at the same time that we do best thing I heard all day. So we'll do that coming up here in just a few moments. Reminder, if you want to give a call in, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. Now offering counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner, valleychristian.co. A lot of texts have come in, too, on the Epstein thing. I'll try to get to those as we work our way through the hour as well. 271-1100 is the phone number. When we come back, Ron DeSantis says, you know I was going to find a way to sneak in some Ron DeSantis today, says, where there is a will, there is a way. He's not backing down from the goal of eliminating property taxes. Sounds like they're going to put it on the ballot for the citizens of Florida to decide. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the best thing I heard all day. Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team. That could mean the job of a lifetime for you. How much money do you want to make just by helping your friends, neighbors, maybe even your enemies find the car, truck, or SUV they've been looking for? And service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. All right, time for the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. There are many stories that I could pick from each day here, but I try to find three that seem like they might have a real impact on the way we live, work, and play here across this great country of ours and our state and our local areas as well. The first thing I'm going to put in this is sort of a market rundown today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has come flying out of the gate this morning after a tough week last week and a bad ending to the week. Up 467 points, S&P 500 up 37 points, NASDAQ up 146. So we're seeing good things happen there. And we're also seeing a rally in Bitcoin today. We're seeing oil prices down a little bit. But the items that can really shake an economy in a hurry are things like stocks and cryptocurrencies. So what do we mean by this? Well, last week was a really bad week, and Bitcoin in particular fell It was down maybe 15% or so last week. And people have said for forever with stocks and Bitcoin that these things are overpriced and that we could someday have a complete tank on that or a resetting. We could see a drop of 50 to 75% in cryptocurrency. We could see stocks go down 20, 30, maybe even 40%. And over the weekend, I heard a number of market pundits say, get ready for a bloodbath on Monday. And it's not happened in either of these two areas where there is some vulnerability to sort of the liquid kind of things you can convert to cash pretty quickly if you want to, which could really shake the markets and could result in a free fall. Well, that did not happen today. And if it was going to happen, you'd think it would have happened off the start of market activity today. And that has not happened. So it appears as though when it comes to stocks and cryptocurrencies, we have found our footing this morning. And that is no small thing. Second thing is Speaker Mike Johnson says he's confident that the government shutdown will end by tomorrow. The House needs to pass a spending package that's been approved by the Senate that would end the partial government shutdown. And Johnson says, I think we have the votes to get this done. The reason I think this matters is we remember the collateral damage of the last federal government shutdown. And I think we were all wondering, is this going to happen again? Well, it looks like they have the votes. It looks like there's more willingness to get this done than there was the last time around. So that, I think, is good news. I think that will be good for America to know that, at least in the short term, that the federal government can continue operating. We can have the conversation at another time about do we want to keep, you know, ratifying the spending going on. But for right now, as most of, you know, organized commerce looks, that's probably a good thing. And finally, something about some personal finance here that I saw today. Mortgages that are more than 90 days past due are on the rise. So these are called late stage mortgage delinquencies. And these are homeowners that are more than 90 days behind on their payments. It rose 18.6% in December from a year earlier. Okay, so year over year change, that's a pretty big number there. And one market observer told CNBC, compared with the levels that we've seen over the last 20 years or so, this compares only to what we saw back in 2008 to 2010, which is when you saw properties in Phoenix crash by half, and where there are people that got way ahead of themselves on their mortgages. So I just think that's an interesting storyline. It does remind you what's at risk in this election cycle. If that number continues to persist and you have more and more people that are behind on their mortgages, it doesn't matter what Trump is doing on the macro picture economically. It's going to be hard for Republicans in the midterms. Now, whether people will connect those dots that quickly and that closely, I don't know. But more homeowners are falling behind on their mortgages, and hopefully that can come to an end fairly soon. All right. Best thing I heard all day was actually a clip that I heard that came out on Saturday when Ron DeSantis at a press conference. You know that I'm a big fan of the Florida governor. Florida is the freest state in the country, and I think he has done an amazing job down there and continues to push for things that you wouldn't think a governor would push for or could even try to do because they almost seem impossible. But he is a conservative to the core, and he's saying we have to watch our government spending. And so he is doubling down on this idea that we've got to find a way to eliminate property taxes down in Florida. And this is how this part of it was came out on Friday.
But to help with property tax, but it's not something I can just ask the legislature, hey, cut the millage, do this, do that, because they don't have constitutional authority to do the local taxes. That is your counties and your cities. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to place a question on the ballot that is going to allow Floridians to be able to vote themselves relief from property tax. And as I said, my vision is, you know, if you own your home, to truly own it, you have to own it free and clear of the government. You shouldn't have to pay rent to the government. They'll be ranked like, you know, people that are, you know, buying investment properties, like, fine, like, that's different commercial. There's differences, but your personal home, you know, we really believe should not be subject to tax. It's an unrealized gain. And I'm just one that's like, you know, if you tax me at point of sale, like I buy a car and I pay a sales tax on it. But like for me to then just, you know, pay a tax on the value every now, cars usually when you drive them off the lot go down. Now during COVID, the cars actually went up in value. You'd buy a car, there was such a shortage that you could drive it off the lot and then you could even flip it for $5,000-$10,000 profit because there was such a rush to buy vehicles. But that's our vision. So. And of course, so what do people say? Oh, that can't be done. You can't do that. And my question is why can't it be done? Look, we were the first place we went to with these audits was Broward County, Florida. They got 1.9 million people. They've had no net population growth over the last 5 years. Their budgets increased 60%.
60%. So 12% a year, basically. City of Fargo, their spending went up. What, 11% last year? Yeah, that's another example there. I just love the fact that he says, why can't it be done? Now, it's going to cause some pain for local governments, no doubt about that. I'm thankful for what North Dakota did, and I'm thankful for the governor's leadership to make a dent in property taxes, but I love DeSantis's thought here. Like, let's find a way. And so many things seem impossible until somebody says, well, why couldn't we? How could this happen? How could we make this happen? And he's doing it right there. And they're going to put something apparently on the ballot for the people in November for them to make a decision on that. Because you're right. When you have, like, we get things that are a little more expensive. The government says it's 3% or whatever. Well, that's 15% over 5 years, not 60% like Broward County, Florida. Thought that was interesting. When we return on the Steve Alsham Show, who is Kevin Warsh and what might he do with an economy just starting to take off? Charles Payne has some thoughts on that. Emailer Ken said, Steve, thanks for your summary a few minutes ago regarding the difficult assignment that ICE agents have been given and how everyone needs to be responding to their efforts, as well as the need for investigation and accountability for any ICE agents who misuse their authority. Yeah, thanks, Ken. I just hope that we understand how difficult that job is because, it you know, two things true at the same time. There does need, if someone goes completely off the playbook and just I'm going to start gunning down people because I don't like that they're protesting and marching with signs, obviously that's wrong, right? We can all agree on that. But it gets a lot harder when you have somebody fighting with law enforcement agents who has a gun, in the case of Preddy, who's been kicking out taillights and who is obviously to anybody, is someone who is a frequent flyer in these protests and someone who is not just one who's standing on the sidewalk with a sign, who's getting in the middle, who's confronting, who's fighting with. That gets harder for me. And while I say that we have to have accountability for ICE agents who misuse their authority, Ken says it very well, I also feel like we've got to have a little bit of understanding of the difficult job that they're put in as well. And that if you shoot somebody and you shouldn't have, me walking down the street, that's different than, you know what, I thought I saw something. We were fighting. The guy I knew had a gun. We knew him. He said something that made me think that he was reaching for his gun. To me, that's different. It just is. And there's got to be some understanding and allowance for that as well. I don't know what that means, but maybe instead of, you know, second degree murder, it's unlawful discharge of a firearm. I don't know. I just, if we continue to say we're going to hold these ICE agents to a standard of perfection and knowing exactly what everybody has on their mind at all times and knowing exactly what they're going to do. And if you say something, well, it didn't really mean he was going to do it. He just said it. Look, who's going to want that job? And we need people to want to do that job. All right, the job that I want to have coming up here fairly soon is going over to Alsager Meats and getting some good food. They've got the steaks, the chops, the roasts, those great chicken breasts. I'm telling you, that's maybe one of the unsung heroes over at Alsager Meats. They have these massive chicken breasts, and they season them with stuff. They're basically ready. You come home and throw it in the pan or throw it in the oven and you're ready to go. And it's so good. And you get those big, thick chicken breasts and they're nice and juicy and tender in the middle. Oh, I love that. They have those at All Sauger Meats. AllSaugerMeats.com if you'll find them online too. They've got the new carnivore pizza, the creamy chicken Alfredo pizza, the pepperoni classic, and the signature supreme pizzas over there at All Sauger's. They are the presenting sponsor for Valentine's Day in Vegas. Coming up tomorrow night, I think there's two more chances. There's a last chance tomorrow over at Kingpin's before we do the party. And then I know Bonnie's got a remote somewhere today as well. Go to am1100theflag.com. You can find out where, and it just escapes my memory right offhand. But there's one more kind of remote party where you can go. We call it remote broadcast, but it's like an open house at a business, and you can check that out there. Oh, it's Fix-A-Forward Auto. Fix-A-Forward Auto, and it's their new location. So check them out there. 10:35 here, Steve Ahlstrom Show. I want to give you something, just a little bit of intel on the situation that's going to be going on with the Federal Reserve. And this, I know for some of you, is like, oh, it's kind of in the weeds, but this is important stuff. And I feel like it's good to know who these people are and what we might expect, because those of you who happen to be a business owner or somebody who is running the finances for your company, or maybe even just someone who, you know, takes care of the finances for your family, it's good to know what's happening on interest rates. So Kevin Warsh is considered one of the more hawkish people. Like, he doesn't want to let inflation get out of hand, which is, in that respect, I think a credit to President Trump. If you want to say, well, Trump is just putting in somebody that's going to want to lower rates right away, he would have picked somebody different. Warsh is a guy who has had a really balanced perspective, and that's why the markets took off last week. So there's an example. If you want to say, well, Trump's always just trying to, like, all he cares about is himself and his own agenda, this one flies in the face of that. Warsh was critical of the central bank back in 2024, lowering the Fed funds rate by a full point when inflation was above the Fed's target. And he said the Fed's hesitancy to cut rates the following year undermined its credibility. So he's kind of saying, look, there are different times here when the Federal Reserve has missed the target there. Brett House is an economics professor at Columbia Business School, and he says based on his past statements and actions in his previous stint as a Fed governor, Warsh was by far the most hawkish of the final four candidates for Fed chair. So Warsh will be in charge of making sure that the interest rate environment continues to move things in the right direction. And as I listen to people talk about Trump's economy, there are a lot of people who will say, well, all I care about is, like a story I just read, that there are more Americans who are late on their mortgages. Well, that proves that Trump isn't doing a very good job managing the economy. I will not disagree that those things matter, but again, if you're expecting Donald Trump to be able to right every wrong that's happened over the last 5 years, in particular a Biden presidency where interest rates went through the roof, we flooded the market with cash, which led to inflation, which led to fraud, which led to all kinds of things, it takes a long time to move trillions of dollars, quote unquote, out of the economy. But what has Trump done? Don't lose sight of this. People are going to want to put a flashy object, shiny object in front of your eyes and say, well, this one statistic tells you that Trump has been a failure on the economy. But let's take a look at what he has done. Drill, baby, drill. It's been a huge piece of the federal government. And while we've seen gas prices tick up a little bit, with oil going up a little bit, that is largely being driven by the fact that everybody thinks we're going to have a very productive next 3 years. So when you have these things happen, you've got maybe lower supply coming from other places, you have less tensions across the globe, that means we might get more oil coming in, we might see prices going down. If we have some international things going on that look like we might have future military actions or future wars, that might make it going up. But here at home, the president has done so many things that have lowered gas prices. And while we're not at the lows where we were a month and a half ago, we did see a $1.90-something gas in a lot of places, including, I'm told, we saw some of that here. Expanded federal leasing has made that happen. Streamlined permitting has made that happen. So the Drill Baby Drill initiative has absolutely lowered prices. You and I have more money in our pockets right now because of what Trump has done on the oil and drilling stuff. Talk about the trade strategy. Trump moved forward with a baseline tariff plan. That's the universal baseline tariffs, 10 to 20% on most everything coming in. And the reason that was put in was it was intended to encourage domestic manufacturing. And what have we seen? You are seeing that if you follow that news cycle, and I try to bring you a little bit of that when we can here, but if you watch the news cycle on that, you are seeing money coming home. You are seeing facilities coming back. Whirlpool just did a big one. Steel production is on the rise. That is because of Trump's tariff plan. And they told you the tariffs were going to bankrupt the economy, that inflation was going to go nuts, and tariffs were not inflationary. They have not been. They will not be. They have not been. Look at the numbers that have come out. It's the best thing we have to go by. So that has all happened there. You've got an onshoring of all the factories coming in there. Is also part of that story there. The extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is something that I hardly ever hear anybody talk about. But we were all going to get a tax increase. The Democrats were on record saying, well, this would make Trump look good if we actually extended this, so let's not extend it. They would not have cared. It's part of their politics zero-sum game. Doesn't matter, but anything to make Donald Trump look bad, even if it hurts you and me. So that was going to expire at the end of the year, and that now has been extended there. And the administration is continuing to push for lower tax rates on businesses and residents as well, taxpayers. You got the deregulation, which people are not talking nearly enough about. The DOGE efforts, which have maybe fizzled out a little bit, but that was a good thing. We right-sized a lot of federal government. Has anybody talked about the federal government not doing what it should because we lost a few employees? I don't hear any of that as well. And you've got, I think the deal is, it's like, I think Trump said they've been taking 20 regulations off the book for every one that they've added. And he said, we really haven't added much of any. But when we have had to put something in to go along with some of the legislation that's gone through, we've been able to take a lot of those regulations, repeal some of them as well. Charles Payne, who does a great show on Fox Business in the afternoons, was talking on Fox and Friends in the morning, I think with Ainsley Earhart here, and he talked about the focus we need to have on what's going on with the Trump economy ahead of the midterms. I think Charles Payne has some really great wisdom. I want to play this for you.
I mean, this is normal when you have a second term president for approval ratings to be the same. We saw Barack Obama's were less than Donald Trump's at this point. Right. But do you think, we work in the news business, so we're reporting these stories all the time. We've seen how Donald Trump has ended so many different conflicts around the world. We've seen what he's done for Iran, for Israel and for Gaza. We saw Iran, the nuclear attacks. We saw Maduro. We're also seeing things internally. Do you think that it's just because a lot of these people that are polled are not watching or not knowing exactly what's happening like we do?
This is the greatest anti-president campaign in history, particularly last year, into the tariffs. Yeah. There were some polls that people were more afraid of the tariffs, and they thought the consequences would be more dire than after 9/11. COVID, which at the time we were like, this is a 100-year, you know, this only happens once a century. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to die. The great financial crisis, that's how much fear and anxiety was stoked out there. So amazing. And this is from Bloomberg yesterday. They show this chart. The stock market at an all-time high. So, you know, you pull back one day, and the stories about, is American exceptionalism over? These stories just proliferate. They explode. Right. It's nonstop. Everywhere you look, almost every news source folks look at, you know, the end of America, you know, there's a huge campaign. A huge campaign. So people are going to have to feel it more in their personal lives. And then the messaging has to come through on the other side as well.
All right. You have a busy day today.
Yeah.
He has a town hall today at 2:00. So you can.
Okay. So that was what you heard from Charles Payne on this subject. It's worth reminding ourselves that you've got to get out of the news cycle and just look at Fox Business, CNBC. Just look at the data points. Forget about the reporting. and you'll be steered in the right direction. When we come back, some comments on the Epstein files coming in. We'll do that next. Did you see the Melania documentary over the weekend? A lot of people did. Biggest documentary in the box office in 10 years. And I saw a note that the reviews by the critics, the professionals, only gave it like a 10% approval rating, but the audience said 99%. Now, those that are going are fans of the president and the first lady. So, you know, not to be, I'm not surprised that it was overwhelmingly positive by those who went, but 99 versus 10? Come on now. So, Hollywood, yeah, I saw the Grammys and all the ice out pins and whatever. I stopped watching those things a long time ago. Hey, a lot of skidding going on the roadways here over the weekend and certainly around the metro area here in Fargo today and over the weekend. A reminder, if you get into a fender bender, Custom Truck and Auto Shine is a place to call. When a collision is out of your control, their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com. I think we got about 4 inches of snow here in town over the weekend. Let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Londa in Moorhead wants to talk about President Trump. Good morning, Londa.
Yes, I enjoy listening to what you have to say. And I think that if there was a way to have people have listened to the presidential directives when he signs them, or what he has assigned, like health to do, and the fraud, and those things that are cutting down on mm-hmm. what's going to be put in the tax situation. And there's a website, it's F as in Fred, R as in Fred, E as in Fred, and D as in Fred, period between each of them. It's the Federal Reserve Economic Direction. They do all sorts of, when they check what's going on here, mm-hmm. what's going on there. So they have a complete guide to if the manufacturing didn't hit their orders or something yep. like that. And a person doesn't have to really depend on the media that's doing something. But there are so many oil companies that have shut down or left California, Oregon, and they're going to have to go someplace, even one in Minnesota. So some of the labor unions are getting involved. Mm. And so there are a lot of people that need jobs.
Yeah.
And if they can move, that's good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so let's make a good state here. Londa, thank you for calling. You bring up a lot of good things there. Yeah, the Fred site is one that most people don't know about. God bless you for knowing about that, because most people don't. It is, you know, the stuff, CPI data, monetary policy, unemployment, and all that. It's kind of a good sort of, you know, warehouse of just economic data points. I'm not always sold that the information that they give us is 100% right, but it is something, and it is a good place to go when you're trying to find out, hey, what's the story on this right now? So thank you, Londa. Appreciate you calling.
It's on the White House website.
Yeah, it's the St. Louis Federal Reserve, Federal Reserve Bank. So thank you, Londa. Thank you for calling the program. Hope you give us a call again sometime. You have a good day there.
Thank you. Enjoy it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that. All right, let's hit some of the texts. First of all, somebody is saying, Steve, the name you're looking for is Prince Andrew. He was the one who was in that picture. Prince William is going to be the next king of England. Thank you. I don't follow the royals as much as maybe others do, so thank you for knowing that, because I did not. Other text messages that have come in today. Steve, a few years ago, Cal Thomas wrote in a column that Obama appropriated money to buy firearms for agencies like Social Security Administration. This should be looked into by Trump. If they fall into the wrong hands, like far-left protesters with a hero complex, all hell could break loose. Thank you for that. Steve, talking about markets, rest assured another big crash is coming, especially in ag and real estate. Okay. We've had a correction in real estate in a lot of the vacation areas, but it's still hung in there. A correction, crash, whatever, every once in a while is not a bad thing. It kind of resets ourselves once in a while. It's not fun at the time there. Steve, remember when it's high, many are taking their gains in the stock market, hence the low. Yep, that's right. When you get, things hit moving averages and, okay, there's a little bit of weakness, or I have a rule. If something goes up 50% in 3 months or less, I sell. And then I look for a point to get back in. It's just one of the things I do to lock in when I have some gains. So you miss out on a few things, but you end up staying out of some trouble every once in a while. So thank you for that. Steve, about the Epstein files, statute of limitations should not apply here. They were young and damaged and mind controlled. These young people had nobody to speak for them. Now they can speak for themselves if they will, and with protection. The predators are still out there. I say get them. Yeah, I hear that. Steve, you seem to forget there are hundreds and hundreds of victims that do know the names. Well, I guess it goes back to that last text. If people do want to bring something forward and they have to have proof, that's the problem. I don't know how you have proof this far back or this far down the line, but if you do, again, evidence is always a good thing. Certainly is. All right, stay tuned for the Scott Hinton What's on Your Mind program. He's over in Moorhead today with Lisa Daymuth's caravan there. I'll be doing the show from there. And I'll be taking the 1:30 to 2 half hour because he'll be moderating a discussion then. So I'll see you back here in a little bit. Have a great day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.